If you remember last week, I was saying that I didn't know whether to go on to talking about the, well, we have been talking about the pursuit of holiness, and I've taken it up to a particular level where I said I now wanted to talk about the vow of poverty. And that vow of poverty, I'll just say something about it briefly, because I'm going to get back to it later. And I said that because of that, I said, let me just expand it to talk about the ministry of wealth, because that's what's very important that people understand. Because one problem that Christians have is the doctrine on money. So I want to talk about money again, that is a Christian, your attitude towards wealth, how you handle your finances, how you do things like that. I've spoken about it here and there about twice now. I've taken topics around that area. Let me tell you, from what I've said now, I'm breaking from that issue of vow of poverty, all right, and the ministry of wealth, and we'll come back to it when I finish what I want to start today. Today, I want to start teaching about what I call the law of faith, all right? The law of what? Faith. I've done series on faith a number of times, once on radio, twice here, all right? The first one, we talked about the life of faith. Second time, we talked about the power of faith. And now, I looked for another word to look. Finally, I got this one. The law of faith. And it's very important. If you don't have this, if you don't understand it, you're not going to do well in life, and God will never be pleased with you. And therefore, we can never say it enough. Now, this is what I was going to say. When I said, let me just really introduce what I want to begin to share today. You remember I was saying that Joshua and Caleb, God is not a populist. God is not looking for things that's popular. And he's not behind those who are popular. He's behind those who are with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Joshua and Caleb, when they went into the land to go and spy, because the children of Israel wanted to know what was there ahead of time. In case you did not know, that was why God told them to go in. They were the one that requested of Moses, let us go in and see what we are going to encounter. And that was their great mistake. And then Moses said, all right, fine, choose 12 people. They chose Joshua, Caleb, and 10 others. And then they went in there and they saw the giants. Now, this is the interesting part. My friend and I were in the office yesterday and we're discussing this issue of the giants that they saw in the land. And he said, Dick said, now, if you read the Bible, you read where they talk about the Og of Bashan. All right? That was the king of Bashan. Og of Bashan. All right? And that they said the bed of Bashan that was described here is still currently, that is, it's, if you want to know it, see it, it's available today, and it is in the British Museum. There's one British Museum that they say that thing is in. The bed of the Og of Bashan. The bed, the measure is 18 feet long. You know what's 18 feet? Your bed at home is 6 feet long. 6 feet and a few inches. This man's bed is made of iron, 18 feet long, and about, I think maybe 12 or 8 feet wide. That was the bed of the Og of Bashan. A literal human being that was existing, that was head of a number of cities that the Israelites were supposed to go and attack. Do you get my point? They estimated the height of the guy. You'll be dealing with a man who is at least 15 feet tall. Do you get what I'm saying? And that is not just height. You can imagine the breadth of his shoulders. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? When Goliath showed up for battle, Israel stopped coming. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is when Goliath showed up once, the rest of Israel stopped coming. They came here, let's go out. They camp against the Philistines. Then Goliath appeared and said, where the man we won't fight? And everybody went back to his tent. Why did he not gather to fight Goliath? That is, the guy was big. It wasn't a joke. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is what I want to bring out. You know, we were talking about it then, about the great men of old that the Bible talked about. We're still going to talk about the Monday series, all right? When you talk about the Canaanite was in the land, when you talk about the Raphim, the Anakim, those things were not jokes. They were literal people. But those guys, you can imagine that they can't stand here. This building is too short to take their height. And they tell, okay, enter that land. And it wasn't one of them. There were many. And I see some short people say, go and take the land. Are you not following? So you don't blame people who came back and said, we are not able. And in fact, they concluded that, you see, God must indeed be wicked. No, let's face it. In Egypt, there are no giants. Before we came, maybe the giants had gone. Because giants were also there at a time. They built the pyramids. People have refused to acknowledge that. Is that okay? Now, maybe they went after, I don't know. But at least we're comfortable. The only problem was we had to walk every day. God wanted to kill us in secret. So he took us out here and said, come and fight these people. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. That is, when a bankie preaches and says that there's no challenge big enough to stop a man from prospering in this land or anywhere in the world, people who have seen giants will think I'm drunk. But God said, if you say that, you are my enemy. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I want to bring out an issue here. These people saw. Now, when my friend and I were discussing this yesterday, I said, I have to come and repeat this here again. Og of Bashan. That they said his bed is still there. You want to go and see, go to the British Museum, you see it there. Now, people like that gathered. God now said, go and face them. That's number one problem. The second problem is that when you say you won't face them, he now faced you. Let me tell you, if you don't want to be a Christian, please don't be. I have said this in severally. A believer who will not follow God properly will suffer more than an unbeliever. I don't mean that as a joke. If you don't like it, please just go and join a cult. Go and struggle like everybody else. You have a better chance. That's what the Bible calls neither hot nor cold. And God has a problem with things of that temperature. Are you following what I'm going to say? Look at the children of Israel. You see, let me tell you something about God. Now, this is my own personal life as an example. There are times I will sit down and I will think. Don't think I am blind. You know what I'm saying? Faith is not the man who doesn't see physical things. Now, the Bible said concerning Abraham, Romans chapter 4, that he contemplated his body, now as good as dead. If you have a King James, he said he contemplated not his body. That was a mistake. Read every other version. He said he contemplated his body, now as good as dead. He said, but despite that, he did not grow weak in faith. All right? But he became stronger in faith, giving glory to God. What am I going to say? That I see also. So sometimes I see things. I remember once I was in Luth, everybody around me experienced a kind of promotion. And I was left behind. And I remember that day I sat down and I was depressed. That was many years ago. And as soon as that happened, the Lord directed my mind back to somewhere in Isaiah, I think around 45. And then as soon as I read it again, I was encouraged. That's the power of the word of God. I was listening to Bobby Mason. I don't know how many of you know Bobby Mason, musician. All right, Bobby Mason, the woman sings, she ministers in her songs. She's not a musician, just singing nice voice. She has a very nice voice, she sings very well. But her songs are packed with words. I was listening to her song a few days ago, and she said something like, the title of the song is Stop by the Church Sometimes, that something may be said to help you on your way. You know, she was talking like that, you know, and you say you hear the preacher preach, and she describes some things that could happen. And that's actually how the word of God works. If you don't stop by to hear it, listen, when God wants to help you, you are not there to be helped. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. So when I get into such, at least those days, even till now, it doesn't happen so frequently, but then it does happen, right? You're a human being, and you see things happening around you. You may almost get discouraged by the challenges of life. Sometimes it will appear like you're the foolish guy. Every time, what brings you out is the same that happened to David at Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Everybody said, this guy has led us wrong. They let us stone him to death. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Are you getting me? So then it was that word that encouraged me and lifted me up again. It happens. So in life, you see things, all right? And they are like the giants in the land. If you don't have the word of God, there is no how you will not collapse in the presence of the giants. But let me say this to you. History lets us know that those giants were always defeated. Anybody who stood up to those giants always kills them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which tells me something. They were only there to scare people. Have you ever heard that the giants killed the Israelites? You think it was only David that killed Goliath? His men killed giants. David's men. They killed giants. Caleb and Co. They would slaughter giants for breakfast. Those guys didn't know. It was normal with them. But the very presence of those giants will intimidate anybody. What am I trying to say? There is no challenge you can't face and overcome. What he's trying to do is to persuade you not to come close. And that's why most people lost out. You can imagine that all the nation of Israel, all of them would have died in the wilderness because of giants that they could have killed. They could kill the giants. But seeing the giants, they were afraid. Fear is a major thing. That's why we're talking about the law of faith. I was talking about a Christian having to make a choice. So yeah, it will happen to me sometimes, and I almost get discouraged. But then when I look back, I like one thing that Dion DiMucci said. Dion DiMucci is a musician, and I've not heard his music in very recent time, but the one in school those days, I still have the tape till now, Dion DiMucci. You know, his songs are also powerful, like Bobby Mason songs. They are loaded. There was one song he sang, one of my favorites. He said, "Lord, I have come too far to turn back now. I wouldn't if I could, so it doesn't matter anyhow." I have the tape. Very powerful song, very, very powerful. That is when you start on the journey with God, listen, halfway through the journey, you look like a loser. It's as if the thing goes down into a valley before it rises back to the mountaintop. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? And this is the problem. If you turn back in the valley, the Bible says they have broken my covenant. Are you getting my point? He said, "My soul, we have no pleasure in you." He said, "Anybody that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom." You want to walk with God, you have to start from the beginning. That is why Jesus described it as a man who will be willing to lose his life for my sake is the one that will find it. Because when you decide to walk with God and do things the way it will be pleasing before the eyes of the Lord, at the beginning, just make sure you make up your mind. I know I'm a failure. Start. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That is, I have accepted failure. Now, having failed, in fact, that's why it's good to fail at the beginning. Fail very well. Go and tell everybody, "I'm a failure in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. All of you have seen me now." Say, "God, so I can't be worse than I am right now. So can we start?" So there's only one way forward. I was quoting this woman last time, Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman said that she believed that one of the reasons why God could use her was that she had nothing to lose. That is when she took that step in marrying that man and then she came out, she was flat out empty. She knew nobody. She had no friends. She knew nobody. She had no reputation. Are you getting what I'm saying? She had no reputation to protect. Everybody knew that woman, nonsense woman. So that one is a final deal. She looked around. There was nothing. So the only thing to do is just walk with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why Paul said, "Look, all your advantages, you had better count them as loss. I count them as a disadvantage so that at least from the beginning you know you have nothing to lose again." Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, if anybody walk with God like that, then that person is the one that will really succeed. Are you getting my point? Now, I said I'm talking about the law of faith, and I just wanted to get that one into our hearts as we start. That is the only way forward. Did you hear what I said? Is the only way what? Forward. There is no way out. If you've started, I'm sorry. Jeremiah said, "God has deceived you, you have been deceived." You know what? Jeremiah was angry with God. "That you should have told me to be like this, I would not have come." He said, "You should have told me this is what to be at the beginning, I would not have agreed." That's what he meant when he said, "God has deceived me, and I have been deceived." Not as if God deceives people. You know, the man didn't know that this is how much he will have to suffer with God to be able to do something for him. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's the way it is with Christianity. All right, it's not a popular religion, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, now everybody goes to church, so amen, praise God. Which church do you go to? Very, you know, you proudly name a Pentecostal church. It's now part of your CV. No, it's true. I'm telling you, one man once said was looking for people to work for him. He said an important part of their CV for him is that you're a worker in the church. I said, "Please explain." You know, I'm a preacher, so I was curious. Is that they are very nice people or what? I said, "Please explain." He said he has noticed that those people are serious people. They are willing to go an extra mile. And they're usually very dedicated to their job. Ah, okay. I understood. All right, you're going to get a worker in church very soon. Amen? And then you start hating workers in church. What I'm trying to say is that Christianity is not like that. That's not what we are using it for. Sometimes it can lead you into the depths of the valley, making you look like a loser. Are you following me? But then at the end of the day, it is so that God can bring you to the top of the mountain, making you the winner with Christ indeed. And most people, they pull back. Once they begin to see God move them towards that valley, it appears like, God, this reward is not coming quickly. And you know, and then they get discouraged. But God said, "Look, listen, if I don't remove every other God from inside you, I can't help you. You can't help me." And that's a better word. You can't help me. You can't walk with me. You can't do things I want to do in your life. You just have to be willing. People look at, you know, I sat down yesterday. I said, Nepal in Nigeria right now, they don't let me sleep well. Do you know that? I felt very bad. I have a generator. In fact, I have more than one. Okay? The problem is that when your generator is on, you don't also sleep. If you put it off, the children won't sleep. If you leave it on, you, the father, won't sleep. In fact, the heat won't let even you sleep. One day I said, "God, you have to do something. This is not good." Those are the days I used to enjoy my brother Deji being around. Because if Deji's around, he's the one that doesn't sleep, me, I sleep. I was like, Deji, when they bring the lights, put out the journal. He said, okay. Me, I go and sleep. All I know is that Eli's, I don't know whether his gender is working. Is his, or is your neighbor. It is his problem. But after the guy left, he came back to my job again, and I couldn't sleep. But those are small things, because I'm a great man that God has made, and it is in the problem of NEPA failure and no NEPA failure that separates the men from the boys. I won't move to America because NEPA is taking light. Let them cut off all the wires on the street, I still won't move. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those are little giants in the land. Those are this, listen, for great men, Paul said that there's no athlete that worries about such things. The real athletes, no. They don't encumber themselves with little problems. All right? You want to face challenges. That's why I like reading the books, the type I was telling you about. Go and face challenges of hundreds of millions of naira. That's how you know you're a man of faith. I don't know what you're going to say. Don't let small challenges, never taking light, make you a grumbler. If they take light, so you open your windows. You're a single man, sleep outside. No, it's true. Those days, when I used to tell my wife, that how did we used to sleep in Transtech room when we didn't have a generator? And I remember we used to sleep outside. If they take light, we just come to the balcony, toss a mat there, and lie down there, and sleep. Those are small challenges in life. Are you following me? All I'm going to say, that God expects men of faith, and we're going to begin to talk about that today, to deal with serious matters. So if you are grumbling on such things, you are not ready yet. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, you are not ready yet. If those are the things you are still complaining about, you are not ready yet. Because see, NEPA, in fact, let me prophesy to you. Nigeria and NEPA will not permanently improve until men take them over. Are you getting me? In this country, there's nothing that government will do that will succeed. Look, listen. You say, but what God is saying? Are you cursing them? No. No. God doesn't want it like that. That is the reason. You can pray all you want for federal universities. They will do well for some time, but they are coming back down. The only universities that will do well are private universities. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, it works like that everywhere in the world. It's not only in Nigeria. Britain was going to collapse until Margaret Thatcher says enough, sold off everything to private investors. That's what happened in Britain. Margaret Thatcher sold everything. So the guys realized that, listen, that's the only way to go forward. So, look, government can't handle anything. Are you getting my point? So why is Pastor Banky preaching? Why am I preaching? The guys that God will use, they have to hear words first. God doesn't want people career laborers. Just pay me money, please. ₦1 million a month. That's fantastic. Let me sell my birthright. No. God is looking for who? Workers for him. That is, people who do these things as a matter of ministry. I'm going to talk about what they call the ministry of wealth. I told you. Somebody has to control something like NEPA. You don't know that? And the person must have a minister's attitude towards it. That is, I am serving power to the nation. I'm not trying to recoup money. I'm not trying to gather money. You are following what I'm saying? That's why we are talking like this. You see, people have to build schools. Government can't do much. After primary school, the job of government has ended. They now want to increase it to what they call American system now. You know, you get to grade 10 now? The ninth grade. After that, you're on your own. You are following my point. Are you following my point? I thought the best university in America, I mentioned to you the last night, they were at Bible schools, Harvard. And what was the name of the other one? Yale. They were Bible schools. One was a Bible school first. I think it was Harvard first. Then Yale people got angry that those people are backsliding. They went and started their own Bible school. They too backslid eventually anyway, but I'm going to say that they started those schools as Bible schools. Now, if you come out with a Harvard certificate now, people virtually worship you everywhere you go to apply for a job. They were started as Bible schools. So great things like that still need to start. And you know, I said telling stories about the Og of Bashan, because human beings, that's the problem. You see all the giants and you think Banky is kidding. Are you following me? And that's what I want to start talking about today, the law of faith. You see all the giants, you think I'm joking. Now, I told my son yesterday, I forgot what he did. The boy is 4 years old, in case you didn't know, he's 4 years old, so he physically cannot comprehend what I'm saying. But after reading around so much, the guy was powerful. Forgotten what he did. I tapped his head. I said, you'll be a very rich man. Very rich man. And in fact, you'll be a billionaire counting in dollars before you are 30. And I didn't mean as a joke. It's a prophecy. I'm not trying to, I don't know how it will work, but I will continue saying it will come to pass for only one reason. I said so. Let him want to go mad. That is personal problem. All right. Apart from the fact that I will teach him against madness. But let us even assume the guy decided to go crazy. There is a power in David that kept Solomon. Do you follow my point? It will keep him. Then when God has done what he wants to do in my life in him, I don't know whether you understand what I'm going to say, and then he can go crazy if he wants. Please get my point. Listen, I'm saying this so that you know the kind of thing I'm preaching about. I'm not preaching about, praise God, you can get a good job. You can get a good, God punish you if you're looking for a good job. You can have a good job temporarily. Do you understand my point? But it's not your goal in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All those are gospels of poverty. Men who have been kept down, that the Satan is sitting on their necks. They can't rise. So therefore, in their prostrate mode, all they can think about is a good job. I'm not talking about those who get good jobs. I'm looking for those who create them. You know, the kind of thing you should be thinking about. Maybe one day you see, you just stand on the road. You just see, a car pass. Very beautiful car. BMW X5, not bad. What's that car again? Lincoln Navigator, Toyota Secure. I just look and say, very nice car. I should buy that for my MD one day. That's the way to think. That is, in your mind, you know you have risen beyond thinking about which car will I drive. Now, you are tracking when you are saying this. Remember the story I told you about an advert I saw on TV by one South African bank. A young man, let me tell you the story again. Well, a little boy, not a young man, was standing beside a very beautiful car and admiring it. The old man who owns the car, a doctor, just came out of the home where he went to make a house call and saw the boy and said, you like my car? The boy said, yes, I do. He said, oh, my brother gave me this on my last birthday, something like that, as a birthday present. So the boy looked, thought for a while. He told the old man, do you know what I'm thinking? The old man said, yes. You're hoping that one day your brother will give you a car like this. The boy said, no. He said, one day, I will be a brother to give my brother a car like this. And then they wrote under it, see the world from a different angle. I said, yeah, inspiration. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to the advertising agent. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That old man has a poverty mentality. So all he can think about is, let me get. All right? So he thought the young man was also thinking like that. The young man said, no. That I will have a car like this is already too small for me to think about. But that I will have the ability to be giving it out as presents. I used to say, and I still mean it, I said, the day I will know I've started, I've modified it a bit because I've accomplished on one level. I used to say that the day I know I've started is when I've given out my third car as a wedding present. I've never given out a car as a wedding present, but at least I've given them out as presents. But they are not new. They are used. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, okay. So when I know I've started, when I've given the third brand new car or something of that level out as a wedding present, that's when I know I've started. That's always been my thinking. That I would drive car has never been a matter of prayer. You understand what I'm saying? That God will please one day in life. No, it was taken for granted. It was a matter of time. Do you understand my point? Listen, read wide. I told you I was reading that book by Donald Trump. And one of the things I look at, the guy will tell you that he did this when he was 27. At the age of 28, he was talking to the whole city and they're going to build a complex that cost him about $200 million to finish. The next time I saw him pass, I said, this boy, before you are 30, you'll be a billionaire counting in US dollars or whatever be the hot currency of that time. If it is Nigerian naira that we are rushing for, which in Jesus' name to be a powerful one, then you'll be a billionaire counting in the world currency of that time. Waiting. The cause where then cause harm. It don't pass away with the blood of Jesus. Is that not what we discussed at that time? We know Cush, the descendant of Ham. And we know he was cursed along with Canaan. We discussed that on our school of Bible exegesis. If you were here, you would have learned that one. We know. Mizraim. We know they were all cursed. But we also know that the handwriting of ordinances against them has been nailed to his cross. That we are no longer servants of servants. That Michael Dell became a billionaire when he was like 36, 35. It's not fantastic. It can be done anywhere in the world. We're not preaching a gospel of covetousness. What are we trying to say? To explain to people that if God wants to bless people in life. Are you getting my point? God wants to bless you. If you don't position yourself in a place where he can use you, you too will be a beggar. You'll be a servant of servants. Go and read the cost that Noah cost Canaan. Ham sinned. But we see that Cursed be Canaan. We explained that the reason why it was recorded as cursed be Canaan is because Moses was the one recording. And it was explained to the children of Israel why we are going after the land of the Canaanites. If you know the spiritual order, read through the whole Bible about it. No, that curse was not for Canaan. It was for Ham and his descendants. But the emphasis in the life of Moses was who? Canaan. Therefore, we know for sure that Mizraim was cursed. We know Cush was cursed. They are ancestors of the black men. And what did they say? It says servants of servants would they be. That is amongst the descendants of Japheth, you will see servants. But that the best men in Cush will be servants of those ones. But that was then. That was why they came and carried everybody here, carried them as slaves. But the time of slavery has passed. Do you understand my point? The curse that Noah gave to Ham and to his descendants, including Cush, those ones passed when Jesus came. He said, right now, there is no wall of partitioning. He has made everyone into one. Paul explained that is God the God of the Jews alone? He said, no, he's also God of the Gentiles. Is there anyone that is of faith? Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me put it like this. Can achieve anything that anybody can achieve on this earth? Anyone? Let me explain something to you. Go and read it. Read around a bit. Bill Gates didn't start out to be the richest man in the world. And I really am not impressed that we rank him the richest man in the world. I'm not, you know, really. Because the other time we were analyzing it, what's the name of this man who owns Chelsea? Abramovich. Abramovich was the most liquid man on earth. He had more cash than Bill Gates could ever dream about. They paid him $11 billion in cash to take over his company back. Bill Gates can't raise $11 billion. Maybe most of you don't know that. The man is worth $40-something billion according to the value of his shares. All right, most of them in Microsoft. If he starts selling, the whole world will wonder what's wrong, and the share value of Microsoft will drop. Abramovich had $11 billion in an account somewhere. What am I trying to say? I'm not impressed that somebody is saying, no, that's not the point. But what impresses me about him is that right now, we are preaching the message. It's being recorded digitally on a program that runs only on Windows. Are you getting my point? Every book I have written, they have been typed on Microsoft Word. Everyone has been set on either CorelDRAW, all right, or CorelWord Perfect that run on Microsoft Windows. Are you getting my point? Our this thing, you go to our website, everything links to Microsoft Windows one way or the other. The chances that you are browsing with Internet Explorer right now, it has dropped slightly, but it's still at least 90% if you're branded from Nigeria. One day I told my friend, I said, no wonder the guy is the richest man on the earth, because that value of his company is a matter of perception in the minds of the people. But that's why we have to perceive it like that. Anyway, by the time you pay a man $4 billion dividends in 1 year, he's the richest man in the world anyway. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But did he set out to be making so much money? No, he set out to do something that nobody else had done before. That's all. He said that to affect the generations of the earth. And I'm saying to people, stop thinking like descendants of Ham. Servants of servants. Say, if I can just get to America, even if it is God I sleep for one year. You see, let me tell you, spiritual things have an interesting way of working. They won't just say, okay, who wants to be slaves? Come over. No. Is that how you catch fish? Who wants to die? Come over. No, you put a worm on the hook and say, who wants to eat? Are you getting the point I'm making? There's one man in Nigeria, I won't mention his name, because one of the reasons being that I didn't hear the story directly from his mouth, and I'm very careful when I'm repeating stories that are handed down like two or three places, okay? If I read it myself, I'll give you his name. They said once, it turned out to one of the richest men in Nigeria, they said once he went to a company in Nigeria here, wanted to work. They gave him the job, told him what he was going to earn. So he asked them simply, how come the other guy, who happens to be an expatriate, a white man, how come he's earning twice or three times what he's earning and they're doing about the same job? They didn't give him a very good explanation. So he tore the appointment letter and threw it in their face that they are very stupid. That is the guy more intelligent than him. Now this guy is an expatriate, a white man working there. He said no, he's not going to take their money. Now, he was a poor man in quote, all right, who was looking for a job, but he had a winner's mentality. He had a rich man's mentality. He had a liberated mind. So he said, look, why are you paying this guy this and you're paying me this? Why? Just explain the reason. And they gave him one very stupid reason. And he said, no, that won't work here. And he said, if you don't want it, walk out. So he said, okay, good. He told you I'm letter and walked away.
a few years later, if he wanted to buy that company, he could buy it. Look, wealth is not to the discerning. Are you getting my point? There's a Bible says it's God that shows mercy. There are things that people do, and God will say, yes, you are ready for the place where we want to take you to. Hey, I don't know why I'm gisting today. But please, I want your heart to be enlarged and lifted. You get my point? I want you to open your mind and know that little thing you are doing in one small corner office, all right? Don't think God lives in America. That's why Michael Dell started Dell. You know where he started it? In his hostel in the university. Is it Microsoft that started in his garage? Then Google, he and his friends started in one small garage also. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, but for your information, this man was judged as retarded. What is his name? Cisco. They say he had a learning disability. You know Cisco. Those of you who are computer literate, you know of Cisco. They looked at Cisco and said, this man can't read. He can't write. He doesn't have the brain to learn. Now everybody is worshiping a Cisco connections networking system. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I want you to understand the cause of harm has gone. You follow what I mean? And right now, those little things you are doing in corners, in places, all God needs to do is blow upon it, and then fire will, you know, erupt. You know, when you want fire to blow properly, it does this. You blow on the wood. But God, you see, they are not doing anything. They are not even interested in me doing anything for them. Somebody lied to them. Because, see, that's all Satan can do. Tell lies. You know, I told that Satan is not powerful. If Satan was so powerful, why does he go around asking questions? He's not. All he can do is tempt. And Satan can't enter into you and force you to do something. No. He first talks to you first. He says, still. It's the only way forward. Nigeria is bad. Country is difficult. There's not much you can do in this life. Just start stealing. Then the man starts stealing. Once they are stolen enough, he has become a friend of Satan. Satan cannot enter him anytime. That's why a Judas could betray Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. When he entered the garden, he's not, good afternoon, ma. Now, so he takes great evil. Good afternoon, ma. If there, can I help you? Yes, ma. We are reporters from one magazine. We just want to ask you a few questions about the order in this garden. Uh-huh. Has God really said that you guys shouldn't eat of that fruit? God said we should eat everything. No, he said that. How did he ask this question again? Anyway, asking a question like that, the woman's here talking. Blah, blah, blah. He said, "All right, but researchers have shown. Do you understand that? According to the report by Kinsey and et al., published in an 800-page article that was done over the 6 years between Connecticut and Malawi, they have found out that if you eat, you will not surely die, but you shall become wise and you shall be like God. In fact, madam." Let's switch off the microphone. Off the record, you won't die. Eve said, are you serious about that? Say yes, try. If you were so powerful, why did you take that long route of conducting an interview? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's what he still does today. Tempt people away. At the end, you know, I want to talk about the law of faith, and my time is going. I'm going to introduce it. See, faith is a law. I first heard this statement from the mouth of Casey Price. Faith is what? A law. Like gravity is a law. If you operate the law of faith, like it's just like gravity. If you jump off from this building, you shall go down. That's the simple thing. Except you power yourself with something else. There's a reason why I said that one. But there is a law of faith also. That if you take a step of faith, Jesus said, whatever you ask, if you can believe, I will talk about that. I will introduce that today, then I'll leave it. If you can believe, what was Jesus saying? He said it will be done. If that thing is not true, Jesus was a lie. I don't mean Jesus was telling lies. The whole person of Jesus Christ was a crazy fellow who we are serving. You are getting the point I'm making. That thing was absolutely correct. It's a law, Paul said. Romans chapter 3, I'll start from there. It's a law. And if that thing is true, do you understand? That means that everything that Jesus said, and if that one is true, then there is nothing that a man believes on this earth that will not happen. So if Satan understands that, you understand why his major assignment is to make sure they don't believe. Oh, let me give you my best example again.
were one of my best examples. Jackie Mize and Terry Mize. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize. Jackie Mize explained to him that she couldn't have children. And he said, why? And he said, because the doctors explained this and this and that and that. He said, oh, who said the doctors? Nah, I forget. I thought it was somebody more important. You know, I told you last time. Okay, was he here I preached? No. I said, who told you? But we discussed that one here before. Who told you you were naked? So the man said, who told you? The woman said, the doctors. Ah, the man said, forget. I thought it was somebody else. They don't, those ones, their knowledge is limited. I take my own knowledge from afar. I ascribe righteousness to my maker. I like the way Eli said it. Said that one, I joke. That is a man of faith. I said, forget. Just marry Job. So he married. Because, now this is my own estimate of it. Because of the littleness of our faith, they had trials at the beginning. But the words that he spoke, you know, they are crucial words you speak. That even if you forget, the words don't forget. The world that heard it did not forget. The angels that heard it, they didn't forget. The God that you said in his presence cannot forget. Those words he used to respond to her at the beginning, they came back. They can't return void. By the time she was writing the book, I think she had three bouncing grown-up children. Three or four. Without the help, I'd be foolish of them to have gone to another doctor to go and confirm what the previous one said. No. With the word of God alone, something, listen, it is a matter of faith. I said what? Faith is a law. If you obey it, it always produces. Are you getting my point? Hey, it's a law. And that's why we're talking about the law of faith. All Satan tries to do is to persuade people that nothing will happen. In this country, nothing will happen. Invest your money, you are going to die. They will chop the money, let them chop it. You know what? Listen, there's one of the things you must learn in life is not loving your life unto death. Not loving your life unto what? Death. That is, you do something, maybe we are talking about economy now and all of that. You invest money somewhere. As you are investing it, count it as loss. I don't know whether you get my point. If the phone you want that everything is dead, they say that's one of those lessons in life. You forget it. You keep on moving. I like one thing Robert Kiyosaki said. He said, I know many poor men that have never lost a dime, but I don't know any rich man that has never lost money. He said, I don't know any rich man that has never lost money. He said, but many poor men I know that have never lost a dime. He said, no, I'm very careful with my money. I've never lost 50 kobo. Ask the man, can you afford 500,000? He can't. They ask the man who can write a check for 7 billion naira without batting an eyelid. How much have you lost? Girl, the other day we did this business, it cost 250 million. We didn't get a dime out of it. But right now the man can afford 7 billion without batting an eyelid. Why? Because there's a law. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Maybe I should start with that one. There's a law. There is a law that he stepped into, the law of faith. This, you know, that's why you hear people say that, even if a Muslim operates it, I say, wait. I go a bit beyond that. But there's a reason why they say that. There's a reason why they say that. Because it's a what? Law. But one thing I want to introduce to you today is that Jesus said that those who are outside, who are not disciples, they get it only in parables. That is what the Bible calls the mysteries of the kingdom. To me, not chiefest of them is this law of faith. That's why Jesus always went around admiring faith or grumbling about lack of faith. You know, that's all they ever used to complain about. Hey, why did you doubt? Oh, you know that kind of, I told you, why did you doubt? Then when he saw faith, he said, Babake. When Jesus will see people exercise faith, he's like, if my people exercise faith like this, I will change Nigeria. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That, hey, this is the law without which we can't do anything on this earth. So you look at the Jews. Look at you people sitting down there. This is a Roman. He said, I have not seen faith like this. No, not in the whole of Israel. If Israel could exercise this faith, I will heal their land. Are you getting the point? He will see a woman come from somewhere. He said, healing is for the children. And you are one of the dogs. And the woman will exercise. It's a law. Are you getting what I'm saying? That law, God will just ignite something in the woman's heart. And once she steps into it, Jesus said, well, you've gotten your result. I can't stop it because it's a law. And then that woman came to Jesus. He didn't even discuss with him. He said, you go your way. Me, I will get my healing. Jesus was going. Just pinch and small and run.
That he just touched him small, knowing that he shouldn't notice because there were many people touching him. Again, like I said, what? It's a law. So when she touched him like that, she got healed. Now, this is my own perception. What happened was that energy was so drained from Jesus Christ that he wanted to take the next step. It took him so much energy to take that next step. So he stopped. Say, what happened? Somebody has collected it. So everybody stop. Stop. Who is the spiritual pickpocket there? Who has become rich at my expense at this moment? Who is that person who touched me? And Peter, who didn't have that amount of faith? He says, sir, I know you have been busy, so everything is not together. But adventure, he did not notice. There are many touching you. If you want to arrest, arrest everybody. Just say, this guy doesn't understand the law of faith. These people are just touching. They want to go and say, I touched him. I was there. I saw him. I saw one Afa bragging once. That one day, shop, a founder of Celestial Church of Christ put a hand on his head. And he removed his cap to show me that he put his hand like this. I'll cover the cap back. And I looked at them and said, empty hand, empty head. The man who laid hands on you, where is he? The head upon which he laid hands, what is he doing right now? You are the gate man without a family at the age of 60. He laid hands on you. What is impressing me about that? Every night you'll be chanting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Mutazman, Allahu they laid hands on you. What has that affected your life? That's why a lot of people were touching Jesus Christ. To go home and say, this hand, I touched him. You know, yesterday I was listening with Joy yesterday. She opened her mouth. I said, one day I was talking with Bishop David Oyedepo, and he said, sir, what did you say? I said, Bishop said, you were talking with him, yes? Two of you alone? I said, yes. I said, Joy, what is the problem? Why are you opening your mouth? He said, nothing, sir, nothing, sir. He young woman was him. She was surprised. I said, I have never given the gist before. He said, no. Oh, I said, in case you did not know, the first time Bishop organized School of Ministry, I attended as a personal invitation. Like, you're a big man, no? Listen. That doesn't mean anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It doesn't mean anything. He has talked to many people, and they are going to fail in life. It's true. I am not succeeding. The success I'm going to succeed in life because I talked to Bishop Oyedepo. Most of the times I talked to him, he wasn't there. If you know what I'm saying? Before that, in fact, the reason why I met him that day was because I spoke so much. The MD of the hospital I was working was a deacon in Winners. He went and told Bishop, sir, there's one young man I want to come and meet you. When I was sit up at night, everybody is sleeping, I'm listening to what? One day when I fell acutely ill, and I cured the plague in 24 hours by listening to Supernatural Living Tape 2, Bishop David Oyedepo. The man wasn't there. It was when I'll be talking. This man was a deacon in Winners. Did not know one-tenth of the word from the mouth of Bishop that I did. And I never went to the church. Apart from once at that time. And the guy says, sir, he said, this man, wait. It's not by going and saying, I touched. You understand what I'm saying? The woman who just little touch. It was because she had heard something beforehand, which had ignited the law of faith in her heart, and that touching for her was a step literally of faith. Therefore, it was done to her according to what she had said. As if it is what? A law. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. That you see, what Satan tries to do is to put doubt. Doubt is not absence of faith. It's faith in another thing. There is no human being that can live without believing. It's not possible. That is in life. People say that I don't believe in God. They are lying. I told you God is a title. It is who you give that title to that matters. You believe in a God. After all, when you fall sick, you go and see a doctor. You have given God said, one of my jobs, I'm Jehovah that he led thee. You understand my point? The man, because there are things about you that's beyond you. If you are critically ill, somebody has to nurse you. So as a matter of human existence, you must have faith. That is why I told you the other time my son came to me and said, Daddy, auntie said I'm 50 years old. And it worried him. And why did auntie say she's 50 years old? He's 50 years old. Because I can do those things that make you wonder whether this boy is really 4 years old. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is something like that. And so she said, this boy, you're not 4 years old. In fact, you are 50 years old. So the boy came up and said, Daddy, auntie said I'm 50 years old. You know why? Because he has to believe one or two things. Yesterday, I knew I was 4. Now somebody is presenting new facts that I am 50. He doesn't have the ability to just dispose of one, but forget. That's human beings for you. You must believe something. So the guy was confused. If I told him that day, yes, actually you are 50 years old. We made a mistake. Yes, they're saying you are 4. You know, he goes away with a new attitude. He will go to school and say, I'm 50. So I told him, don't mind auntie. Auntie is just joking. You are 4 years old. Then he smiled and left because that was in keeping with what he believed. Now what I'm trying to say, that's how human beings are. You must believe something. A man once, and I like to give him as an example because it was a real oaf of a human being. Bank manager. He'll be laughing at Christians. This is your pastor. His mouth is so smooth. Look at his suit. Fine jacket. He has been collecting people's money. And he's joking about it. In my mind, I'm irritated. Do you know why? I know where his own God is. Was in one affair in one Longo in Oshobo where he used to go. I knew the man. I knew him. I knew how much money he was spending on that man with his goatee. I knew. I knew how he depended on that man to help him drive away his wife. I knew. And here is this idiot laughing at my pastor. It used to disgust me. See, look at you laughing. Look at the person laughing. At least my pastor wears an Armani. His hair is texturized. A fine boy, no pimples. Bring your own, the assistant of your God, let us see. The guy had a goatee. He wore a robe and spoke no word of English. Yet you pay your own tithes and offerings to him, and I am aware of it. So why? What gave you the audacity to laugh at this man of God? What I'm trying to say, everybody believes in something. They all do. So doubt is not that I don't believe anything. Doubt is which one have I chosen to believe. So for the Christian, what is doubt? Doubt is that, I think people like Banky and Co, they've not seen, no. They've not seen. If they know the kind of troubles I have, they won't be telling me that God is not in America. They won't say it. That is, I have believed what CNN said. I have believed the stories. You know, countries you have never been to. I like one thing my brother-in-law said once. He lives in the U.S. He won the America Visa Lottery years ago. Sat with my wife and said, once I finish my school, this period will have passed. I will have gotten my because then after some time, they give you an American, what they call a passport. All right? He said, I'm coming back home. He said, I have looked, and all the people I know here, none of them, apart from one, is to look up to as an example of success in this land. He said, I'm going home. So this one I've started. Let me just finish it. He explained to my wife. I told my wife, why didn't you tell him the truth? That it's not too late. Just cut out and get back now. He explained the reason why, and I understood. He said, once I finish, he's going to school. Then once I finish, I'm coming back home. So all this one that, he said, this is nothing but suffering. A lot of people have faith in a place they have never been to. It's true. Servant of servants. Cursed be Ham. Cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Cush. A servant of servants. You have faith that even if all I did was sweep gutter, I'm okay. That is what doubt is. So faith, God says this is now what faith is. Faith is that though there are giants in the land, it may take us some time to kill the giants, but the land is good. And if our God is on our side, their defenses have departed away from them. Now, we just keep on believing God. Once we don't die, we'll succeed. Are you getting my point? I've said it to you before. Once you don't die, you will succeed. So just concentrate on not dying. Are you getting my point? Listen, once you don't die, you let me tell you one of the reasons why people don't do well in life. You see, you know what Satan does? It, because of trials and troubles you've had, remove your ability to imagine great things. So you have no goal. He said, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, all the things I do, like personally now, it's obvious I have one goal in mind. My wife can tell you that. I'm just trying to preach. No, I'm preaching hard enough as it is. If I want to cut down the preaching. It's not that just that I'm preaching. I thank God for that. But I want to reach more people with what we are preaching. That's why our emphasis is always okay. Like, I have to preach for radio. I have to preach for this. Yeah, thank God we want to get cameras. After that, we'll go on TV. That is, the day I will know that we have really begun is when people from Australia will also flip on their... In fact, I have an idea for the you know, like our way of success from on Cosmo FM now. What I would like to call my international TV program is Gospel from Africa. I'm already dreaming about that. In fact, if you know how I dream, or is America, I dream of how I will pose on the stage like this. I'm dreaming of how I will relax. How I will make sure that my English always has a small African accent. It must never become American. It must never be British. They must not be confused as to where this guy is coming from. We must retrain some Swahili, some Hausa, some Yoruba inside it. Then we'll be chipping in words in our native language. I'll talk and talk. I said, nah, what I'm saying is true. That they let anybody from anywhere. No, I'm preaching from Enugu. The title is Gospel from Africa. The hear me, descendants of Cush. And here also, descendants of Japheth. What's the other guy? And Shem, eh? Uh-huh. Here also, descendants of Shem and descendants of Japheth. There is no more a wall of partitioning. He has made all into one body. There are now only three groups of people that God understands on the earth. He said, give no offense either to Jews or Gentiles or to the church of God. You're either a Jew, a Gentile, or the church of God. He said, his kingdom, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. He said, his kingdom rules over all. You know, I'm already imagining it too. The people go short past this one small. So that I can drop my small laptop down a little lower and lean like this and explain like this and talk casually with my hand in my pocket. And God, may I never get fairer than this. Since I black like this, may I not look like Lusemeka at all. They may confuse where I'm coming from. I want them to know that a descendant of Cush by natural descent, but by spiritual descent, a descendant of Christ Jesus has arisen. And listen, there are times when I want to do program, I will tell guys to sit on the platform behind. And I will be talking and I say, Gabe, like I was saying, you know, last time you guys sold about $27 billion of, was it oil? Yeah. And you guys explained this. I said, yes, sir. I said, good. You know, then I'll turn around again, point to somebody that this is our controllers. You behind me. I know they will do, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, you see? Let a descendant of Shem open his mouth. We'll close it. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. And periodically, I'll say, guys, oh yeah, come. Let's come and film. The whole world has to see what God is doing from Africa. The title of the program, Gospel from Africa. You are getting my point. Look, that's why I'm preaching the way I do. That is why, because it will happen. It will happen. It's a law of faith. It's a law of faith. It must happen. And God said, for you to be able to believe that, you have to step into a place. It's called the disciples of Christ. They came to him and said, how come you're always talking in parables? He said, to them, it comes only in parables. He said, but to you has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So what we are discussing is the mystery of the kingdom, by which if anybody approaches unto God, he must get results in life. Listen, I told you, this is the faith that frustrates all kinds of diseases that are trying to kill people, that frustrates bullets that try to hunt young men down, that no man will die in an accident because of he. Listen, Jesus said, he said, I am the resurrection of the life and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live again. The martyr made the same mistake that we, all of us make. He said, yes, in the day of resurrection, God, amen, praise God. And Jesus said, shut up. That's not what I mean. I said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now. I told my wife once, did I tell her this? Or I preached with it. I said, if ever you hear, they say your husband died, it won't happen. I said, walk up there and say, he can't die. Because he believed in him. Therefore, he shall rise again. It doesn't mean last days. It means he has children to take care of now. Get up, my friend. Are you crazy? Come on, get up. Why? Because he believed in him. That was what Jesus was saying. Listen, you don't get the point. Abraham couldn't die until Isaac was born. No matter how much he tried to die, he couldn't die until Isaac was born. People who have places they are going to, you can't kill them. Oh my God, you can't. Jesus said that, how can it be heard that a prophet perished outside Jerusalem? Let them try. He said, cannot be heard. It won't happen. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's a law of faith. It's a law of faith. All Satan is trying to do is to look at people and try to persuade them that it's not like that. Because there is a law. It's a law of faith. If you can believe that that's the way it is, it will most certainly come to pass. It's a law. Are you getting my point? Let me start my message. That is by concluding it. The thing I wanted to say. Let's just start it and then we'll close and we'll go. No, I've not read any scripture. You know, if you notice. Did I say you opened somewhere before? Okay, let me start with this one. Oh, Father, I give you thanks. Mark chapter 11. I went to preach somewhere a few days ago. And what I was thinking about I was going to preach to them was when the Spirit of God led me into this particular place. And as soon as I read it, I knew how to get back down here and teach something on faith again. Now, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus was speaking here. You know the story. He went towards a tree. In verse 14, because he did not see anything on the tree, he said to the tree while he was leaving, he said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And disciples happened to have heard it. Then they didn't think much about it until they were coming back in verse 19. He said, when evening came, they would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Then being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus saying to them, he answered, have faith in God. You understand that what was happening was that Peter was surprised. He said that thing virtually in passing. Because how will you take it that a man who has so much work to do is cursing a tree? Waiting being wala with tree. So just said it in passing. This tree, no go better for you. And they continue to go. You know the way Nigerian will say it. If you're in Nigeria, go with the tree, say, oh, waka. And you continue going. And the disciples heard it. And then also when they came back and saw that the tree dried properly, somebody came at you with a cutlass, it dried from the bottom to the top. Alright? When they saw that, they were surprised. That's what Peter said. Ah! Was it just because of this thing this man said? Just now? Just a few days ago or some hours ago? Therefore, Jesus said, this is how it happens. Have faith in God. He began to give them a lesson again. Because Jesus used to teach like that. When something will happen, he will take it as a focus of ministration again and begin to explain the principles of the kingdom. Remember what we said earlier? If you read from Matthew chapter 13 especially, after Jesus taught them about the sower went forth to sow, some went here, some did this, some did that, another, they now came and said, sir, how come you talk in parables? You know these things don't make sense. Jesus said, can't you see they're all happy, they've gone. It doesn't make sense, but they've all gone. They are very happy. He said, because they are outside. Alright? He said, but to you has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. What am I trying to say? So what Jesus used to do was to teach the mysteries of the kingdom to his disciples at every opportunity. So he would tell them, they would come and say, why couldn't we cast him out? Cast it out. He says, it's because of your unbelief. They, are you getting my point? They'll say, ah, master, look, see how beautiful that temple is. When they rebuilt it, He said, let me explain the principle of the kingdom to you. You see such beautiful edifices that are erected up to God, all right, as a house of worship. He said, this is what will happen. Eventually, no stone will be left on top of another. You know, he'll begin every time they came up with things. He'll say, oh, don't let your heart be discouraged. You will see this happen. He kept on teaching them the secrets of the kingdom. You are getting the point. So this is another opportunity. Something came up. Then he came up again with another principle of the kingdom. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. He said, whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now I want to explain something to you. Let me stop there. And I will close with that. I'll continue from there next time. This is what was Jesus saying here. That there is a divine principle. There is a law. If you read Romans chapter 3 verse 27, I think, Paul was talking about the principle of justification. He said, how does it happen? He said, is it by the works of the law? All right. He said, is it by the law of works? He said, no. But by the law of what? Faith. And we said that means faith is what? A law. And that's what Jesus was developing here. And this is what he explained to the disciples. I want you to notice something here. In verse 24. Please, I want to reread this scripture so that you will understand. This is the way we have all read it. Then I will explain what I believe is the concept that Jesus was trying to pass across. Though it's not written so easily in black and white. Although I think it's actually written in black and white. Do you understand what I mean? It said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted you. This is how we read it. We take that belief as if it's an instruction, a commandment. That believe you have received it and you will have it. Believe you have received it, you will have it. Let me just charge you with this. From my understanding of the principle of faith and reading through the scriptures, it is impossible to instruct somebody at that point to believe. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me say this again. Our very popular example in Pentecostal circles, the widow of Zarephath. The woman was sitting down. And one strange fellow, you don't understand this point, a strange fellow. You know what I mean by a strange fellow? One guy you have never seen, just showed up without any introduction. He didn't say, hello, madam, are you Mrs. Zarephath? Hello? No, nothing like that. I said, oh, I'm Reverend Dr. Elijah, the man who's responsible for all your troubles. He didn't say anything like that. He said, madam, I think I'm hungry. Please, no, get me water, please. I would like a glass of water to drink. I'm very thirsty. It looked like he's thirsty. So the woman was going to get the water. And the fellow, don't forget, he's not a preacher. You don't know him. You don't know this jack from anywhere. And then the guy showed up and said, please, while you're bringing the water, bring something with which I will drink it. And the woman said, well, we don't have anything in the house and all of that. And the man said, don't worry. That little you have. Give me first. For thus says the Lord. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you think any rational person should take his word serious? Because if you say yes, then all of us should fall prey to 419. No, let's face it. There was no reason to believe that guy. He could have been a con. Are you getting me? Are there no preachers who go around now conning people like that? According to the Bible, plundering widows' houses? The question is, why on earth should that woman have accepted? Let me tell you simply, no rational person should have accepted the word of this nigger from somewhere. Nobody knew him. Yet, by faith, in the story, Jesus now made a statement. He said, how come that there were many widows in Israel? All of them were neglected. Only the one that was in Zarephath was Elijah sent to go and sustain that woman, her child. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. It was not that point that they commanded her to have faith. There was something in her heart before then that made her able to believe him at that moment. If she was a natural person, she should have done the right thing, disbelieve that fellow. Why didn't he bring the food first? Why is he saying that after he has eaten this one, the rest will not finish? Is that not typical 419? Advanced fee fraud. Is that not what it is? What is 419? It's not advanced fee fraud. We chop the first portion, they will promise you more is coming. After, there's nothing like doubt in life. Doubt is faith in the wrong thing. Because the same faith that makes a man lose all his life's investment is the same faith that makes this woman get more than she ever hoped for. I told you the other time I read a book. They said, why smart executives fail? After I read the analysis, I said virtually the same reasons why some succeeded. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make here? Why on earth did this woman decide to believe? That's the question I'm asking. Because, you see, no, this is what I want to emphasize. When Jesus said believe, I don't think he was instructing people to believe everything they hear. And this is what I want to say. If you did not have the capacity to believe, Jesus was not commanding you to believe. This is how I read the scripture now. It's a recent development. All right? And I believe that it answers a lot of questions that I couldn't answer those days. When men try to explain to me how to believe in your heart. Listen, this is the way it works. Listen to this. This is where I want to read it. Verse 24. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask. This is just a simple alteration. If you can believe that you have received them, they will be granted you. I'm bringing out the point here. It is not believe. It is if you can believe. It's a condition, not a commandment. Oh, I don't know whether this is making sense to you. See, that what he was trying to say to them is that a man that wants to succeed, the woman that wants God to do things in her life, had better start exercising himself in believing God. And that's what I want to talk about, the law of faith. You say, what about Abraham? This is my good example. The Bible said, I don't have time to read, we'll refer to it next time because I've taken more time now because I started late. The Bible said it clearly concerning Abraham that a point came in which he was fully persuaded. Are you getting what I'm saying? He became what? Fully persuaded. So what Jesus was saying is that whatever you ask, if you are persuaded that you will receive them, you shall have them. That's why a lot of people, when they want to pray, they say, okay, let us believe. You want to try and believe. The person is not persuaded. Believing is a matter of persuasion. Let me just dispel the widow of Zarephath. Let me quickly tell you what happened to her. It was not her first time of giving food to strangers. Let me tell you, it was not the first time she gave her last meal to somebody. It was the first time she was being rewarded like this, but it was not her first time. Oh, this thing is so important. Not loving your life unto death. I don't believe that the woman was absolutely certain that she was going to get anything. That was God's problem. If you know what I mean by God's problem. So we want to solve. The woman's own is that this guy says he's hungry. Let's give him food. As a God will multiply it. Is this the first time somebody eating my last meal? Take that one from you. It will make your faith work very easy. Most men who made it in life did not know they were going to make it like that. Listen, your faith must be in God, not in the thing you are doing. Then you will do the things you are doing because it is right to be done. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? Your faith is who? Is where? In God. For example, I tell you all the time that the good Lord said to me, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Which the method is going to use till today I have not found out and I'm not trying to find out. But I do everything I do because it is right to be done. I preach free of charge because it is right to be done. I write books and make them as affordable as possible because it's right to be done. If tomorrow God makes me write 5 books that everybody in the world buys and pays me $1 honorarium on it, which makes me worth about $7 billion instantly, fine. The principle is not write good books. It has not become write good books. If one man labors all his life and gathers $70 billion and listens to one of my messages and said, the good Lord said, Warren Buffett gave it to Bill Gates Foundation, so I shall give to Pastor Banky personally. You know, there's foundation, there's personality. The key to prosperity is not preach a good message and send to a billionaire. Are you following the point I'm making? If everybody says, ah, let us make this man rich, let us gather money, it is not, the key to prosperity is not popularity. The key to prosperity is believe the Lord thy God. How God manifests it is something he just does out of what you would have done normally because it is right. Do you get the point I'm making? A lot of people started in one line of business, they entered another one and became famous by accident. So do whatever you are doing because it is right. And then your faith all the while is in God. So this is how faith is. This is the law of faith. If you can come to the point of full persuasion, that's what Jesus is saying. And that is what Satan is fighting every day. Because I said before, in life is a war of words and is a war of what? Faith. Satan is presenting his evidence to you every day. Why things won't go well. Why they won't go well. Listen, whichever one you are fully persuaded about is the one that will come to you. It is not the one you desire. It's the one you are fully persuaded about. Let me tell you, God is the source of all blessing. Let me end it with that. If God wants to bless the generations of the earth, he looks for somebody through whom he can do it. That's all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why he said, Banky, get up. I know you're not feeling well today. I will give you the grace to preach. Go and preach. Declare to them again. Let me tell you the principle of preaching. Read Isaiah chapter 40. It says, say to Zion, behold your God. That is, let's go. No, we don't have time. We'll go back next time. That when God wants to do something, somebody must go up shouting. Everybody look that way. Everybody look that way. Everybody look that way. This is where your God is coming from. Say to Zion, behold your God. Then when they turn their attention and focus on their God, then God begins to walk through them. Listen, what Solomon said is absolutely true. The race is not to the swift. It's not the man that started first that wins. That's what he was saying. The battle is not to the strong. It is not the man that's smartest that makes it most in life. He said, I have noticed that it is time and chance that happens to all men. You know, when I was reading this book, I've read a number of books. I've read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, sorry, Rich Dad Poor Dad, that Donald Trump's I'll tell you about, Mary Kay's book. I've read all kinds of books. I realize in all of them, every single one will tell you that this was a point in which something happened and then our fortune was turned. Are you getting my point? T.D. Jakes will tell you it was because the day he became famous was that Paul Crouch, the principality of networks in the world, sat down in confusion one day and put on the TV. And for 7 minutes, T.D. Jakes taught on Show Them Your Wounds. After that, the man became a favorite on TBN. Do you get my point? They will tell you that certain things happen at key moments. You know for sure, Kanu and Okocha are not the best footballers in Nigeria. Listen, some of their mates who played better than them will still sit down today and be telling you stories. Those days, Okocha couldn't score. Okocha couldn't score. Now, I mean, they pass ball for them. Where you there now, boss? Bros, nothing for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nothing. No, that is a fact. In fact, he will tell you that the day they called Okocha to come and play, it was because he traveled. They will tell you that that day, let's face it, I was the guy who was supposed to play, but then that day, I traveled, I didn't come on time. So Okocha went to play and they signed him for this club. From there, Westerov came and saw him and arranged an international. If I had come that day, only if, Solomon says, caught time and chance that happened to all men. He brings some down. Why is lifting some others up? Everyone I have read, they have said that, you know. In fact, then I found that this particular period, real estate suddenly turned upwards and then I was made. He would say that, oh, yes, I know I was prepared for it. But what I was saying in effect is that if it did not turn, I would be dead. You know, there's so much that a man can last. Are you getting my point? I mean, you know what the investor would say that, look, man, I'm bleeding. That the guy would tell you that I'm bleeding. That is every day, maybe we have borrowed $150 million. Interest payment, you know, we're discussing here last week, that Dangote pays interest on money ₦1 billion a year. Did you hear that? Interest that is paying on borrowed money. ₦1 billion every year. Listen, go and read those international guys. The guys who, one of the men who encouraged Richard Branson in his airline business. The guy was, he was fighting British Airways. Fighting them. Then one day, his bankers called him and closed on him. That is, his bankers ruined him. time and chance happens to all men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, it's a law of faith. There is something behind that. So, but Paul said, it is God that shows mercy. What am I trying to say? I'm not telling you be smart, you will make it in life. I'm telling you believe, and chance will make you make it. Let me say that again. I said, I'm not saying be smart, be connected. I am saying what? Believe. And then you will see events. Mistakes will begin to happen. Accidents will happen. At the end of the day, you will see that it is not you. Some things gather together to push you up to a particular level. They will now say, ah, that guy, he wasn't the smartest, but time and chance happened to him. But you know what happened? In reality, life was responding to the law of his faith. Do you understand that? We'll continue developing that from next time. I've taken your time. Once again, I apologize for coming.